Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we hear about the Harmony Project in Los Angeles, which is expanding to Tulsa. The Harmony Project is an after-school and weekends music immersion program for low-income children in low socioeconomic neighborhoods. Designed as an outlet for after-school hours and as a way to teach autonomy, self-discipline, and competency that will carry over to the classroom. Based on Venezuela's famed El Sistema program, the Harmony Project fosters a love of music, but most importantly, it creates a sense of belonging among the participants, which is especially important given the prevalence of gang activity. Given that the Harmony Project was created by a behavioral scientist, Dr. Margaret Martin, research is a fundamental part of the program, and it's providing some of the most compelling evidence of how music can positively affect academic performance and brain development. My guest today is Micah Miller, the executive director of Harmony Project. Since becoming director in 2007, the project has expanded from about 250 students to over 2,000 today, with 17 youth orchestras around the greater Los Angeles area. Under her leadership, the project has launched a number of new initiatives, including partnerships with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Beyond the Bell with the Los Angeles Unified School District, the Los Angeles City College, and PS Arts. She's here in Tulsa to coordinate with the satellite program of Harmony Project, which is getting underway at the Kendall Whittier Elementary School. She joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Micah Miller, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about Harmony Project. This is, you're serving about 2,000 kids in Los Angeles, and you're making an incredible difference in these low-income communities and really transforming a lot of lives. Tell us about Harmony Project, how it got started, and what is it exactly?
Well, so it got started in 2001 with 36 kids, and basically our founder is a doctorate of public health. So she was looking at it from what music can do for a child socially and all the other extra musical benefits, as I like to call them. So we started with 36 kids, 2001, and now fast forward to 2014, we have almost 2,000. So it's been tremendous growth and a huge learning experience, but also just seeing the demand and the need that's out there for families that are looking for something to hold on to, something for their kids to belong to.
Other than gangs.
Exactly. Other than gangs, other than anything else that's out there for them. There's not a lot of options after school for kids and weekends. So that's when we function. We do after school. And Saturdays is the day where everybody kind of comes together to form their orchestra, their ensemble, their band, their salsa band, you know, whatever that is. That's on Saturdays.
Now, while it is sort of the conservatory method of teaching, really you're open to all sorts of music. It could be popular music. It could be folk music. It could be traditional orchestra. It could be a jazz band, for that matter.
Exactly. And kind of the way I try to structure it is when I hire teachers to kind of get the best out of them. So if they are a trombone player and want to start a trombone choir, you know, I really try to embrace that because I don't try to impose a certain style of music or a certain style of teaching. It's really up to the teachers.
But the idea got started back in 2001. You mentioned she was looking at the social values. She saw, I think she tells the story of a kid playing a little toy violin, playing Brahms, and some gang members came up and watched the kid and threw some money in the case. And she said, this is what they'd probably rather be doing.
Right, right.
And has it been making a difference in these communities?
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, when you talk about 2,000 kids in a city of LA, that's a drop in the bucket.
It really is. But no, I mean, I've seen a huge difference in the lives of our kids because, like I said earlier, there's not a lot of options for them. And what I've noticed is that, you know, kids from middle class or affluent families have this social capital that kids from low income families don't have. You know, so like you're going to go to New York City, you're like, oh, I know a guy, you know, you could stay with this friend, you know, and especially in music, it really creates this like, you know, network of people. And so, you know, kids have gone on to incredible schools, Tulane, Dartmouth, you know, UC Berkeley, UC Santa Cruz, a lot of the schools.
Out of your system?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And then so now, for example, our student who's at Tulane, we have an affiliate program in New Orleans and she's working with them. So, you know, you're starting to see these connections being made that would really not be possible.
Now, you're following the El Sistema approach, which was started in Venezuela a number of years ago. And of course, it gives you people like Gustavo Dudamel, and
right.
Who's a conductor of the Los Angeles Philharmonic now. But it is this total immersion into music. And there it starts in early preschool years with movement and moving to music and rhythm studies. Then eventually they start singing in a choir. Then they move and get instruments. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they sing in a choir as a part of that. It's a learn this. And it, while it does turn a lot of professional musicians, it also provides a lot of training in concentration, in autonomy, and the sort of skills you need to do to practice an instrument and succeed. Mm-hmm. And it's had tremendous changes for Venezuela and a lot of places where this system has been copied. Is this what you do with the Harmony Project?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was just talking to Tom Stout about this, and I'm from Texas. So band was El Sistema for us. You know, I mean, right. You went before school, during school, after school, you know, so that's, to me, when we think about El Sistema, I'm not thinking so much about what's happening in Venezuela, but more about this intensity and this time that you put into the music making and practicing and the social involvement around that. So, yes, definitely we're an El Sistema-inspired program, but I would say we're a Texas band-inspired program and a public school-inspired program. You know, I mean, I feel like I'm really inclusive of all forms of music teaching and music making. But yeah, I mean, we're part of the National Alliance of El Sistema-inspired programs, and it's definitely something that's really, you know, a big fad and a big movement right now.
So the goal is not to turn out professional musicians. It's giving these kids skills to be able to get through high school and hopefully go to college. And with music a part of their life or to a lesser degree a part of their life and being successful.
Absolutely. It's just, to open doors to them.
Well, tell us a little bit about how the system operates in Los Angeles with Harmony Project.
Yeah, so we are starting our kids at age 7 primarily. You can enter at any time in your childhood from 7 to 18, but we usually start them at 7. And then they will get a musicianship class for anywhere from a semester to maybe a year where they are doing these kinds of movement things and body percussion, learning to read notes, learning to play a recorder, stuff like that, before we're actually giving them an instrument. So that way what we found is that, you know, before you hand them this like $200 or $300 instrument, they have a certain appreciation for music and how to read it and those kinds of things. So that's the kind of the entry point. And then from there, they go into a group lesson on their instrument. So it's not as much conservatory style. It's more about group learning. So they'll have a group lesson on their instrument twice a week for 2 hours. And then on Saturday, like I said, after about a year, they start playing in an ensemble.
Mm-hmm. And after they start playing an ensemble, performance is a big part of this, right?
Performance is a big part of it. Because we feel like that risk-taking and that pride that comes from performing. So they have to do recitals twice a year with their group class, and then they also do their ensemble performance twice a year. Mm-hmm. And we try to do something a little bit special in the summer, so that's usually a little bit different.
So do they start out with just string instruments?
It really depends. Uh-huh. I hate to say it, but if we need trombones, then we're going to have a class of trombones, you know? So... It really just depends. It really just depends.
And really, you're gearing them towards these sort of gatherings on a Saturday.
Exactly.
With these sort of youth orchestras that
exactly.
are meeting, I assume, all over the city?
Yes. So as we mentioned
How many
earlier,
youth orchestras do you have?
17.
17, wow.
Yeah.
So they're all getting together, and then a lot of this is happening after school, right?
Entirely after school and on Saturdays, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it every day after school?
It meets every day, but most kids will meet twice a week, and then Saturday. So mm-hmm. 3 to 4 days a week.
Now, how important is it to get parental involvement
in
this?
It's really, really important.
Now, I know in certain locations, it's like the teachers will actually go to the parents' homes and sort of be a part of the home as far as introduction to the family as far as what is expected of the child. Is that the case here?
Well, we do parent orientations for mm-hmm. each parent and each family, so... We try to tell them, you know, like your kid's going to have to practice. It may not sound great in the beginning. You need to be supportive, you know, how to care for the instrument. So, I mean, I would say that what keeps me up at night is the kids and we're not serving because they don't have the parental involvement, because it really is. I mean, the parents are driving them to the classes. They're driving them to the performances. I mean, the parents are there on Saturdays all day long. You know, I mean, so I applaud the parents and congratulate them a lot for their efforts.
Now, a lot of what you're doing, you're coming from a researcher as
yeah.
your founder.
Uh-huh.
Research is a big part of this project.
Right.
What are the sort of questions you're asking and what are the sort of questions you want answered about this program?
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely one of them is grades. You know, is music helping kids in school do better in school? That's one of the big ones. And then we recently did something really interesting with Northwestern University, where they were actually putting electrodes on the kids' heads and looking at the brain's response to music and to making music. So what was really cool was that we had 80 kids in the beginning, and so 40 started music the first year, and then 40 started the second year. I think it got down to like 60 kids in the end. But so you had this control group of kids who knew they were going to get music, so you could still kind of like keep them interested. And all the 80 kids were assessed in the beginning before music. So you could see these changes in their brain patterns. And
just after a year.
Just after a year. And I mean, for me, there's a lot of things, you know, about how the brain listens to noise. I mean, can listen and focus in noise. There's a lot of really interesting things. But for me, what was most interesting was to see their reading comprehension improve. And I know, like, apparently third grades where we really start to see a difference between kids who come from affluent families in their reading comprehension. So that was really exciting to see, is that it went up. And the control group continued to decline. But after the second year, when they received 1 year of music instruction, their reading went up as
it
well.
It just was two parallel lines, yeah. Except that they just were a little bit behind the kids that had started
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Right.
That is kind of exciting because, you know, there's so much controversy over what music does. You know, for a while it was like, right. If you just listen to music.
Right.
You know, and
Mozart effect.
Or yeah, whatever. Right, exactly. And that's sort of been debunked. But the idea of actually participating, it looks like the neurological signs seem to be very promising for brain development.
And yeah, it's really exciting. And even some of what Northwestern was showing is that even with some of the older Americans that were tested, you know, their hearing and noise was still really good, even though they were older. So, you know, you think about elderly people who are driving and that could save lives, and that music, even though they had a little bit of it back when they were 12, they had piano lessons, it made a lifelong difference in their lives.
My guest today is Micah Miller. She's the executive director of the Harmony Project. She is also a musician. The Harmony Project in Los Angeles is a music immersion program for low-income children serving about 2,000 kids in the Los Angeles area. And there are now increasingly satellite programs, one of which is starting at the Kendall Whittier Elementary here in Tulsa, as well as in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. And so this is a wonderful project. And she's visiting Tulsa to consult with some Tulsa Symphony Orchestra educational outreach efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, so they start at 7 with an instrument. Are you doing some testing as far as to see what sort of skills that just practicing an instrument each day is instilling in the kids? I read that there was like three prong. It's the idea of autonomy, of concentration, and one other one I can't remember now.
I know, I always forget them too. It's autonomy, relatedness, and competence.
Yeah.
So that's a self-determination theory, basically. So those are the three things. So you can see the autonomy is practicing and being able to play your part no matter what everybody else is doing. The relatedness is how you relate to everybody else. And then competence is really important to me because that's the quality of the music education. You know, if the program is bad, nobody's going to come, you know, and no one's going to get better. So having really quality teachers and quality teaching is really important.
Yeah. I assume the kids are moving at their own pace. If you have really talented kids that obviously have an aptitude for this, they move up quicker or do they stay within their age groups?
It really depends. I mean, you do have some kids who have excelled a lot. And so fortunately, we have ensembles for those kids that are, you know, it's much more intense. They have to come a lot more days a week and put in a lot more time. So it's kids that are really interested in that, obviously. And then, I mean, if you never progress and you stay, you know, at one level orchestra, that's fine too. I mean, a lot of kids just, they don't really have that interest, but they want to play.
We were talking about the band model in Texas and Oklahoma and this
mm-hmm.
part of the country. You
yeah.
know, for those who are in the band program, there are kids that are really serious about the music, and there's other kids that are there for the social values,
mm-hmm.
for the trips and
mm-hmm.
the fun and just being together and playing music and the competition.
Right.
Do you see the same in this sort of system?
Yeah. I mean, what you see is that kids just want to belong to something. And I think that speaks volumes to the gang problem in Los Angeles, is that, you know, people just need to belong to something. So that's one thing. And then the intensity is the other thing. You know, it's like you're not going just once a week and kind of like, you know, more or less practicing. This is like intense practice, intense immersion was the word you used, which I really liked, into something. You're creating this product. And
so your coaches are like athletics. If you're not performing at the rehearsal, you need to be spending more time practicing, blah, blah, blah. And there's that sort of competency that's a part of the teaching.
Yeah. And what I always like to say is there's no bench in music. So nobody gets to sit on the bench. And you mentioned something else that I wanted to talk about, because most of our teachers are teaching artists. So they're performing musicians. And so what I've really seen happen is this mentor type relationship, because with the students, they're looking at people, obviously people they can look up to and who are older than them, but who play the same instrument, you know? So it's not, you know, there used to be this educator type role. And now I'm seeing like professional musicians who
mentor,
want to teach and who want to mentor. And it's a different vibe. It's a really cool relationship between students and their teachers.
Yeah. And now will the teacher stay with that group of kids for a number of years?
Or yeah, they do.
So it's like they almost have a class. They start at beginners and they'll follow them all through high school, hopefully.
Yeah. Wow. It's really cool to see that.
And at some point, the sharper ones, they'll go to private lessons as well as this group lesson, but they still have this group lesson.
Right.
This group that they're a part of.
Right. So in the beginning, we had private lessons for every single child. And then obviously that became very expensive. So about 5 years ago, we started looking at like, okay, well, what are we going to do about this? And then actually inspired by University of Miami, they have a program where their students have to teach two younger students that are in their youth orchestras. So we decided to steal that. And so if the kids wanted to receive private lessons, they had to mentor and teach two younger students. In some cases, they would have to help their teacher with a class, or they might have to set up chairs. So they would have to pay back the ability to receive these private lessons. So that's been, I mean, private lessons obviously is amazing and life-changing. But for these kids to have to become leaders and teach younger kids who look like them, who grew up in neighborhoods like them, has been really incredible.
And what's the level of playing once you get these kids to the high school level? What do they sound like?
You know, it really depends.
Uh-huh.
It really depends. You have the whole gamut. There's this one clarinet player that just played the Mozart concerto beautifully from memory, you know. And then you have kids who, you know, who just don't take it that seriously, but they, you know, they still play.
They still want to be a part of it.
Absolutely. So it's really the whole gamut, and talent is not that important to us. So as long as you're there, you want to be there, and you're holding up your end of the deal, you're welcome to stay in the program.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a sort of an all-star group at some point? Is there youth orchestra of Los Angeles?
I would
think there would be many of them.
Yeah, there are many. Within Harmony Project, we've talked a lot about that. I kind of get a little queasy about it just because I want everyone to feel equal, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, healthy competition is good, but you know, you never really want to like eliminate some kids. So
my guest today is Micah Miller. She's the executive director of the Harmony Project in Los Angeles. It is a music immersion program for low-income children. They're serving about 2,000 kids there. And what's interesting, you mentioned earlier, you said grades. We want to see how they're doing on grades. What's been the result?
Well, it's really mixed. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Some kids just do really well and other kids don't. And one thing we've noticed with some of our really talented kids is that they spend so much time practicing their grades suffer. So now we've gone in and we're requiring tutoring for them and things like that. So, you know, it's really, for me, grades is a hard thing to pin down. Plus, there's so many other factors that affect their grades, you know, things that are happening at home. You know, one of our graduates this year was talking about how his dad lost his job, so he was working. So obviously his grades, you know, those 2 years where he was working went down substantially. So, I mean, I think it's like grades is something that we look at as like it's a number and you can embrace it and it's like, yes, your grades are better. But I feel like that's a hard thing to prove.
Now, in individual cases, obviously so, but what about just the numbers, the sheer numbers? I think I read one statistic where you're looking at the surrounding community, the test, if you will, the without music is the dropout rate's around 50, 60%.
Yeah.
And you're talking 10, 15.
Yeah. I mean, what we've noticed is that our graduation rates are really high amongst our seniors. And that's really exciting because what I noticed is all of those kids who graduated this past year, we had 34, they'd all been in the program for like 6 years, 7 years. Some of them have been in the program for 10 years. So to me, that's what's making a bigger difference is looking at the amount of time they've been in the program. You know, especially in Los Angeles, there's a lot of programs that or like a 10-week residency, or, you know, you might have it in elementary school and then it ends. But we stick with them and, you know, through high school and into college. We have a scholarship program for them. So it's really exciting to see that LinkedIn program is what's really making a difference in those relationships.
How much attrition happens along the way among these kids?
So it depends, because it's interesting. In the first couple of years, there's a higher attrition rate.
Sure.
And once the kids have been in the program for like 4 or more years, it's much lower. So I would say in the first couple of years, attrition rate's about 20%, and then it drastically lowers after that.
Mm-hmm. And then, so once you get them in there and get them playing in an ensemble and they have that sort of camaraderie, they're going to stick with it the whole way.
Right.
And again, it's after school and on Saturdays. So you're also competing with a lot of, you know, in some areas you might be competing with other athletic programs or things like that.
Yeah, soccer's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem. But, you know, I mean, some kids are athletically, you know, inclined and others are not. I never was. Right. So I can relate to that. but, you know, at some point people just have to make decisions. And really there's not a lot of options for a lot of the families. There's not, you know, the soccer costs money, or, you know, a lot of the programs cost money. So this is entirely free to them as long as they practice and come to class and hold up their end of the deal.
What's really amazing is some of your teachers. I was reading a couple of stories from the website, and one teacher is a violin teacher, and she said, you know, we're trying to instill autonomy in these kids. This is, I gave them about 4 or 5 different choices of things they wanted to do. It was like, you know, a whole book of Irish fiddle songs, or the traditional orchestral material, or something else. And she said, we're just going to figure out what they want to do, and we're going to do it. And I thought that was a really cool thing, as far as being open to all different types of music.
Yeah, that's really important to me. I just feel like there's so many, you know, music is music. So I hate to just focus on the classical repertoire. I really feel like a lot of times what will happen is that you reach the kids where they're at, and then, you know, ultimately they'll be interested in all types of music.
Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of popular music that sort of brings kids in, that you sort of hook them into this new way of, you know, playing a violin as opposed to a guitar or a keyboard or something?
You know, I think mostly they're just happy to have the opportunity. I mean, obviously we don't do guitar and piano, which are, you know, people want to do those a lot. but I just feel like, you know, you go into schools and you do a little dog and pony show and ask the kids who want to play the violin or who want to play the clarinet or, you know, whatever. And everybody wants to. So, I mean, music is not something that it's a hard sell. You know, I mean, the older kids get, obviously, it's a little more difficult. But when you get them when they're young, and that's something that Tulsa's doing that I'm really excited about, is they've got like age zero all the way to, I think, first grade. So that's new uncharted territory for us in Los Angeles that I would love to make happen.
Yeah. Well, as you know, with the El Sistema in Venezuela and the systems that really closely mirror that, it does start at a very, very young age. And I think in Venezuela, you know, one of the big issues for probably your kids is once they get into junior high or high school, they're having to work to help basically the family bottom line. They may be single family, single parent. They're having to have to work. And, of course, in Venezuela, they give them a stipend to keep them in the program so they don't have to be sent to work.
Right.
So I think there's some really interesting things that are happening. But in the case of Harmony Project, this is like, what, 99% privately funded for the most part?
Well, yeah. I mean, so basically our funding is in thirds. It's a third individuals, a third foundations, and then a third partnerships. So what we've really been able to do, how we've been able to grow in the last couple of years, is partnering with other like-minded organizations, which I think is something that's kind of interesting after the recession, is that people are wanting to work together, whereas opposed to in the past, people were like, oh, you do your thing, we'll do ours, you know, very territorial. So like with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, we have a partnership with them. We have a partnership with LAUSD, with the Beyond the Bell branch. We have partnerships with YMCAs and Boys and Girls Club and lots of different entities. So that's, I mean, it's all private funding ultimately, but that's how it kind of breaks up.
getting back to the research for a moment, you had this Northwestern brain testing. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other interesting findings you've found from your research, and what are some of the questions you're starting to ask now? Because now you have graduates who've gone through this whole system. Mm-hmm. They're going to college through a scholarship program. Mm-hmm. Is the next step to see if they're graduating college? Are they making music a part of their life? What exactly?
Yeah, so music being a part of their life is not as much of a priority. And what we've seen is that a lot of them are going into pre-med, biology, a lot of non-musical things, which make me very happy. And then one thing for me will be preparing them for jobs. So this peer mentor program that I was telling you about will be preparing them for the workforce and hopefully to work for us.
that's probably your dream, is to come back and be an instructor.
I have the kid is Christian Martinez. He's going to take my job. We've been talking about this for 5 years.
Who's Christian Martinez?
He's a violinist. And you know, interesting. Both of his parents work, you know, night and day. They have two shifts. And his older brother got into some trouble in life. And you know, Christian played the violin, and just I don't know. It really made sense for him, and he's become a leader. And so he volunteers in the office, you know, hopefully he's taken away some learning about office work. But we always joke that he's going to take my job. So that is the goal. That is the goal. So he's going into a double major, actually. He just graduated. So he's going to do music and business, which I think is perfect.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like great things are happening in this. And it sounds like it's an incredibly rewarding place to be as a musician. Do you have a lot of really impressive musicians that are a part of this?
I mean, I think all the teachers are really impressive. You know, in Los Angeles, people are making their living doing some studio work, doing some teaching, doing some freelance playing, and you know, local orchestras, that type of thing. So we have guest artists that come from the LA Phil. We had Hillary Hahn do a masterclass, and obviously Dudamel. We get to see him about twice a year. So, yeah, I mean, I just think that what's impressive to me is not so much the talent of the musicians, while that is impressive in itself, but the fact that there's this shift in thinking about wanting to give back to the community and about community service. And I don't think even 10 years ago musicians were thinking that way, you know, about changing other kids' lives and raising them up. And it's just been really exciting to see.
Well, you can see in many places, you can see the writing on the wall, the fact that there's been about a generation without music education in the
right.
schools.
Right.
Now, is that the case in Los Angeles? Is music, is it hit and miss? Like in the suburban districts, there's lots of music, and in the inner city, not so much? Or
yeah, I mean, I would say it's more miss than hit.
Really? Yeah.
What, you know, there's no real feeder pattern. So like when I was growing up, you went to this elementary, this middle, and this high school, and it was very clear. There's been a lot of charter schools added, which in some ways is a good thing. In other ways, it's a bad thing, you know. So when kids are getting through elementary school, they're just scattering. And so again, what I think Harmony Project's able to offer is a home for these kids, no matter where they end up going to school, if there's music at their school or not. So it is really hit and miss. And I think it's interesting what you say. I think it's been more than a decade that there's been this decline in arts in Los Angeles. And you can, I think it's really obvious. I think why school officials and politicians don't understand that's why the dropout rate is so high. There's nothing to go to school for. You know, I mean, who wants to go to school to study how to take a math test, you know? So I definitely think that's starting to shift. I hope that's starting to shift.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with that. And also with the partnership with this new Harmony Project here in Tulsa.
Yeah.
We hope that there's some great things come out of it.
Yeah, very excited about it.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Micah Miller is a musician and the executive director of the Harmony Project in Los Angeles, which is expanding with a satellite program at the Kendall Whittier Elementary School here in Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.